Welcome back to 32 Fans. I'm Alex Chester. With me, as always, Wheels Wienerker. Wheels, how's it rolling?
Rolling great. We just recorded a podcast. Hopefully people like it. You know, you always drop two at once. Should we, like, drop one of these on Monday and wait till Tuesday or Wednesday for another one? Or is it, like, when it's ready, why not release the podcast?
I'm a guy at a restaurant. Listen, when the food's ready, bring it out. Don't, like, hold this item because that's an appetizer and that's a mix.
I never see. Unless there's, like, a space on the table issue at a smaller, trendy restaurant, like, send everything out at once.
Yeah, exactly.
And the same thing goes if you're my wife and you're listening to this. Although, I will say, when we have soup at dinner, which we do usually on Friday night, like Shabbat dinner, like nice soup, I don't want the whole meal out. Well, like, I'm happy to have the soup before the meal.
Oh, yeah, okay, of course, yeah. I don't literally bring dessert and steak at the same time. But everything that, you know, more or less categorized as the same type of food.
Yeah, mains, appetizer. What about, appetizers and mains, are you fine having at the same time?
It depends. Well, it depends appetizers. On the circumstance. If I'm eating with my wife where it's sort of, you know, family style and everybody's tasting everything anyways, then yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's an item like soup where you sort of have to eat it right away so that for temperature reasons.
What is your, I was always jealous of my dad that because my mom doesn't eat, he can like go even on their first date, like he can order what food for himself and then eat her whole meal.
Yeah. I did that on all my dates.
You can do that. So my wife, not a large lady, but she is a big eater. And so, you know, she eats her whole meal always.
What a selfish woman
and
she is.
It's very annoying. And then, like, you have certain – there are good kids' ages where, like, little kids don't get meals. But then there's, like, they're old enough to want a meal, but they're not old enough to eat it. And then you can eat theirs. But then some of my kids, like, get this idea of, like, oh, I'm going to bring it for school tomorrow if it's, like, something they really like.
Yeah, my kids don't eat anything, so that's not a concern for me at all.
If you have two eater parents, it's hard not to be an eater, you know?
Yeah, and well, my wife is, like, a snacker. My wife doesn't like to have a meal, but she likes to eat, like, small amounts, like, 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
So she'll never finish her meal at a restaurant ever. But then she'll come home and, you know, start eating some candy or something like that.
Okay.
So, all right. Now, how did we get into this?
I don't remember. All right. So we're up to 20 to 11
for the
announcer
rankings. Yeah, so we're
here to talk
about the 11th through 20th best sports announcer calls of the last 35 years. Oh, this came up because you said we usually record the patron cast and the regular cast back to back. And so then we post them back to back. And you're saying, should we post them a couple days apart? Why don't we make a poll and have patrons tell us what they want?
Yeah, we don't need to make another poll. It's fine.
Yeah, that was a joke. All right. So let's jump into this. So here's your 20 to 11. You promised that 20 to 11 was going to be all fire.
Yeah, it's going to be all fire. Maybe there'll be one that it's like, this is a great moment, but maybe the call doesn't do it for me. So let's start in Toronto, which is, I believe, where we left off last time with Kawhi. So there's three clear great moments in Toronto sports. Probably the three greatest Toronto sports moments in history. Although I guess that's kind of a stupid thing to say because they won back-to-back World Series. But the three most iconic, like, individual moments are the Batista bat flip third, Kawhi 3 second, and the Joe Carter home run first. And a lot of people, I'm sure, the youngins would put...
How sad is it, by the way, that the Maple Leafs are by far the number one team in that city, and they don't even come close?
They might not make the top 10. Like, the
it's
Blue
crazy.
Jays, like
so
won
I've been
a whole other
the,
World
as
Series.
As we discussed on the Patreon podcast, I've been doing these Mount Rushmores. And for Toronto, like, it's pathetic. The Maple Leafs have been around for 100 years. Their history is pathetic. Who's their best player? Yeah. Like, Turk Broda? Matt Sundin?
Yeah, freaking Turk Broda.
Sad state of affairs.
Yeah, they
some
suck.
Guy from, like, the 19... Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I moved to Toronto, Matt Sundin was the biggest star in town, slightly ahead of Damon Stoudemire.
Mighty
Max. All right. So yeah. So let's listen to Joe Carter win the World Series.
Joe has had his moments. Two balls and two strikes on him. Here's the pitch on the way. A swing and a belt. Left field. Way back. Blue Jays win it. The Blue Jays are World Series champions. As Joe Carter hits a three-run home run in the ninth inning, and the Blue Jays have repeated as World Series champions. Touch them all, Joe. You'll never hit a bigger home run in your life.
Interesting, the image of Carter jumping up and down as he rounds the bases.
Yeah.
No, so you've never actually seen, on the original broadcast, you don't see him doing that, except that you see him on the Sky Dome screen in the background.
That's a good call, yeah. Fair, not a hot take. Fair point. You'll never hit a bigger home run in your life.
Now, my issue with this call has always been, I think it's so insulting. You'll never hit a bigger home run than that in your life.
No one's hit a bigger home run than that.
Why are you telling a 30-year-old man, like, your life is all downhill from here?
But, like, no one's hit a bigger home run. It's the only...
He can't do it in the bottom of a ninth of a game 7?
Is it the only walk-off home run in World Series history? To end the World Series, not to end the
game. But it's a game six. So, by, like, a game seven would be more dramatic.
I mean, I think history was kind to that 99.9% chance.
I don't
Joe
know.
Carter
it just, it seems slightly insulting to tell somebody in their moment of triumph, oh, by the way, your life is all downhill from here.
Yeah.
So there's something about that I don't like. Joe Carter, by the way, probably the most overrated player when you look at sort of his stats compared to his reputation.
Mm-hmm. What about George Sisler? George Sisler hit like 350 with like a 340 on base.
Joe Carter would have like a 730 OPS every year as a mediocre defensive corner outfielder. He'd bat like 260 with 25 home runs, but he would make All-Stars because of sort of 25 home runs and then because he had these iconic moments. You know, he might even have an argument for a place on the Mount Rushmore in Toronto. We'll get to that in a couple of weeks on this podcast. But
okay.
Yeah, so it's a good call. You'll never hit a bigger home run than that in your life. It's a famous call. It's always annoyed me, and I think it's disrespectful, but it's a good call. Congratulations, Toronto. You've been heavily represented, but I think you're out of the top 19.
Yeah. All right. 1999, AFC first round of the playoffs, Titans-Bills, Steve McNair, Doug Flutie probably on the other side, unless it was a Rob Johnson game.
Now, we did not see this game live.
It was on Shabbat.
It was on Shabbat afternoon. My friend Mike Zim, I was in the dorm for Shabbat. Mike Zim was following it on his computer, not Shomer Shabbat, not observant of the rules, and ran into the room to tell me what happened and sort of gave me as much play-by-play as description as he could. This is before, like, you could get video on your computer. He was watching, like, sort of the...
CBS.com Game Center. I've been there for many, many...
Yeah,
you know,
so
I spent
he was
whole,
trying to
like,
describe from there. He doesn't know the details. He just knows there was a punt return, there was a field kick return, and then there was, like, a 10-minute gap as they reviewed it a million times.
Yeah, you'd wait for that. You'd wait for the CBS to, like, officially...
For so long.
And then it would be like a six-line explanation for a play like this.
But still not nearly enough explanation. By the way,
you know how many Mets
Frank
games
Weichert,
I followed
was it
on that?
Do you think it should have counted or not?
No.
So you think it was a bad call?
I think it's probably slightly forward, but right. I'm willing to hear other interpretations.
All right, okay. So the Buffalo Bills, remember, they've – and by the way, they had not won a playoff game from this moment until last year.
Yes.
So, all right, let's watch this. The Music City Miracle, for those who don't already know.
Do the Titans have a miracle left in them in what has been a magical season to this point? If they do, they need it now. Christie kicks it high and short. Going to be fielded by Lorenzo Neal at the 25.
Yeah,
pitches it back to Wycheck. He throws it across the field to Dyson.
He's got something.
30,
he's
40,
got something.
50,
he's got
40,
it. He's got
20,
it.
20, 10.
He's got it.
End zone. Touchdown, Titans! There are no flags on the field!
First guy to ever call that. Now Buck does it every game. No flags on the field.
Oh, this is
Sean Jackson.
This is there are no flags on the field?
I think it's the first one. I think Buck, it was one of the last ones cut from this list, the Sean Jackson punt return against the Giants. I think Buck yells it too, maybe.
Okay.
Kevin Dyson, I believe, played for several years in the RHAP Fantasy Football League, Rob's Fantasy Football League.
So Kevin Dyson, if I recall, was the number 8 pick in that draft. He was the only quarterback wide receiver taken ahead of Randy Moss, who dropped to the Vikings at 21. And so Vikings fans and Randy Moss in particular always sort of had this hate for him, undeserved, because it's like, you think you're better than Randy Moss. He has that iconic moment. He's the player who's tackled at the 5 in the Super Bowl that year.
At the 1. Tackled at the, you know, the 2, whatever.
But catches the ball
at
the 5.
Yeah,
makes the move, yeah. Who's the one who caught that ball?
Yeah, Tim. That's him.
Oh, it is him. Oh, so Dyson has a couple iconic moments in that play.
Yeah, he did not have a good career, but he's involved in two of the more famous plays in football history.
By the way, that's another one I did not see live.
Why?
Once the Vikings lost to the Rams in the playoffs, I was like, fuck this. And we had – back then we were in high school, and our high school winter break would always end on Super Bowl Sunday, and then we'd be back in school on the day after the Super Bowl. It would be our first day back from school.
Do you think you love the 98 Vikings more than your wife and children?
I mean, hopefully my wife and children don't end it the same way.
Yeah. Imagine you come home and, like, Gary Anderson is with – your wife's doing
my
the
wife
Dirty
is
Bird.
Doing the Dirty Bird, yeah. I showed up to school the next day. Uri Berger did the – I walked into school. Uri Berger started doing the Dirty Bird. I turned around and left. I just left.
Yeah,
I'm like,
fair.
I'm not going to school today.
That's fair.
Uri Berger, what an asshole. I love you, Uri. So once the Vikings were eliminated from the playoffs in each – the 3 years I went to – 3 years that I was in school in New York where we had school starting the day after the Super Bowl – they lost in the NFC Championship game once, Gary Anderson game. Then they lost the Rams where they blew the halftime lead. And then the next one was they lost 41-0 in 12th grade. So another miserable experience to the Giants of all teams. And so each year I was sort of had the standing deal with my dad where if the Vikings won, we'd go to the Super Bowl. And when they lost, I was flying home from Minnesota back to New York on Sunday night, and I missed the Super Bowl. So I did not even see – I saw part of all those – I saw part of the other two Super Bowls. I guess I flew back earlier in the afternoon. That Super Bowl, I was on the plane. Our pilot was giving us play-by-play. And so he gives us the play-by-play, and he says, you know, Titans down to the 10. McNair throws it to Dyson. I guess it is tackled at the 1. And then that's all he says. And then he goes off the intercom, and then people start screaming, "What happened? What happened?" And they say, "Oh, no, the game's over." So, yeah. So I got play-by-play from a Delta – or Northwest, probably. It was probably Northwest at the time. A Northwest pilot for that game.
Yeah, I would never be on a plane during the Super Bowl.
Yeah. All right. All right, so that's a great call. There are no flags on the field, which, as you said, we hear it all the time now, but that's where it got started. And we just listened to the 30 seconds of the play. Obviously, what followed was 10 minutes of replay where they tried to decide whether Frank Wycheck's pass – I mean, it seems – I agree with you. They try and judge his arm angle. Like, Dyson is clearly standing, like, a yard past the 35-yard
line. Yeah, it's a question of really where he
So does he reach
it.
Back? I think it's close enough, especially with the non-HD that you have in 99. I think you just leave the play as called on the field.
It's the first year of replay also. It's you know, pretty rudimentary, I'd imagine.
For the Bills, it's just an epic gut punch. But the Titans really took advantage because they, you know, they win in two more games and they go all the Super Bowl where they lose on the one-yard line. The best Super Bowl, second best Super Bowl of our lives probably to that point. So they it's not, you know, usually the team, look at the Vikings with the Minneapolis miracle. The next week they got crushed by Philadelphia. The Titans actually took advantage and went all the way to a yard away from the Super Bowl. So,
totally.
All right, what's number 18 on our list?
All right, so let's play. Let's go soccer. And is this the first women's sports clip we have on the list? I'm not sure if it is or not, but if not, it's another one. And we're going to the 2011 FIFA World Cup. We're in the quarterfinals. It's the United States against Brazil. The United States never missed the semifinals of a World Cup. They always either make the finals, win. You know, they've won the finals, losing the finals, or lost in the semis, but they've never failed. Never failed to make the semifinals. But 2011 looks like they're going to. They are in stoppage time and extra time. It's 122 minutes in. It was 1-1 after 90. Now it's 2-1 Brazil with Marta. And Ian Dark, the greatest announcer, 40 seconds into this clip, is about to call the United States' chances dead, and Brazil's going to move on to the next round. And let's hear what Ian Dark has to say.
By the way, do we not have – Dark, of course, has the famous announcing for Landon Donovan's goal. Is that on our list?
Yeah, of course, but that's next week.
Okay. All right, okay. Let's listen.
Chance of USA ringing around the arena here in Dresden. But it does look as if it's going to be to no avail. And it will go down as the USA's worst performance ever in the Women's World Cup. Cristiane can buy some time down by the corner here. Eat away vital seconds. Now, USA have it. And they've just got to get everybody forward now. No sense defending anymore. Lloyd's got to get this pass off to Rapinoe, and everybody's got a bomb forward now. Rapinoe gets the crossing. It's towards Wombat.
Can you believe it?
Marta looks heartbroken.
Yep. And the U.S. would go on to win, and then win the semifinal, but lose in the finals to Japan.
I can't believe it! And what a ball that was by Megan Rapinoe!
It's obviously a great moment. It's not like a great call, necessarily.
First of all, it's Ian Dark, so it's automatically good.
Well, what Dark says, he says, Abby Wambach has saved the USA's life. It's Rapinoe who should deserve the credit.
Yeah, it is true. But, you know, it takes him a few
seconds
to realize
that. Wombach
does
the oop, but Rapinoe, the alley, is much more impressive.
This is Rapinoe's best play, and she was just named the best player at a separate.
It's an unbelievable
World Cup 8
play.
Years later. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, they're dead. They're toast. And
speaking of alley oop, my wife goes into my 3-year-old son's bed while he's sleeping the other day, and his hand is between his legs while he's sleeping, and she takes a picture, and she texts it to me with the caption, alley oop. Which is how I discovered that my wife thinks that the J.R. Ryder dunk is what an alley-oop is. So I had to explain to her what an alley-oop actually is.
What does she think? She thinks an alley-oop is like you put a
She thinks
ball
an alley-oop
between
is between the legs dunk is an alley-oop.
They don't ask that question in medical school? What's an alley-oop?
Well, the good ones.
Do you think she's been dropping alley-oop in the wrong context her whole life? And people are like, what are you talking about?
Apparently, because she did to me. Yeah. I'm like, there's no alley-ooping going on here. And then I send her the J.R. Ryder dunk. I said, is this what you're referring to? She's like, yeah, that's an alley-oop. I'm like, no, that's a between-the-legs dunk.
Jeez.
Yeah. Why do we marry these people?
Yeah. No, all right. So we should just marry each other. Just bros being bros. All right. So I had the Brandi Chastain goal. We're going to skip that because it's not a great call, but that you should go back and watch that. It's a very tense moment. But we are going to do a bonus before number 17. So click on the bonus.
Is Brandi Chastain, is it an epic call or just obviously?
No, it's not an epic call. It's an epic moment. Yeah. He just says goal.
Okay.
So click on the bonus under 17, and that will lead into 17.
Oh, so we're watching the first one. Okay, fine. So this is from 1960.
Yes.
Right? So it's not.
In black and white.
So it's not. This is the shot heard around the road. Not eligible for this tournament.
Not eligible, but it will set it up.
Okay.
Not taking any chances. Watson without too big of a lead in second, but he'll be running like the wind if Thompson hits one. Bracker throws. There's a long pass. I can't be, I believe. The Giants win the pennant. 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 Bobby Thompson hits into the very back of the left field stand. The Giants win the pennant, and they're going crazy. They're going crazy.
Oh! Why don't all old sports videos have people clapping really quickly? Like, is that sped up clapping? Is that how people used to clap?
Yeah, why do they always have that? It's a good question.
It's very strange.
It's. I mean, that's obviously one of the most famous calls of all time. Great job.
Yeah, so that's a great call.
Yeah. And so we're watching that because that leads into...
Yes, that leads into number 17. So 2014 NLCS, it's Giants, the Cardinals. Giants lead 3-1. Game 5. We are in San Francisco in AT&T Park. It is the bottom of the ninth, 3-3. Michael Wacha, hopefully future Met, is the Mets' fifth starter if the season ever starts, is on the hill. Travis Ishikawa is at the dish, and press play, see what happens.
Travis Ishikawa hits one in the right. The Giants win the pennant.
Now, you know Joe Buck was waiting to use that the whole night.
Yeah, so Joe Buck is copying calls. Not the last time you hear it on this list.
But that's fine. Yeah, he's not copying a call. He's honoring a call.
Yeah, he's honoring the call. No, I'm not dissing Buck here at all. Chicago gets the second in, like, under 2 seconds, but then almost gets tackled four different times. You know what's crazy is, like, the old Hank Aaron type home runs where, like, there's actually fans on the field running with those players, and it was just like...
It's every big home run from the creation time until, like, 1985.
Yeah. Basically until, like, the 80s, and then probably the Monica Seles thing probably ended that also, but it wasn't happening.
Mike Papini, is that the Colonel's manager there?
Yes.
Yeah, he's looking grim.
All right, so that was the Giants win the pennant, A and B. And we haven't done a ton of NBA, so let's do NBA. This is going to be a little different. There's going to be a bunch of calls of the same famous event, okay?
So we're going to hear different versions.
Yes. One of the most famous, probably the most famous block in NBA history.
Yeah, that call's not that great, except that it's just, you know, Buck honoring an all-time
Yeah, it's one. Buck honoring, yes.
Yeah.
We're setting up a later Buck honoring call, so. All right, so you tell me, you say play when you're going to hit play for our number 16 from the NBA.
Okay, number 16. Let's press play.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Of the game as we come up on a minute and a half remaining.
Picked off by Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala to the rim. Blocked
oh, great
James.
Block!
James out of nowhere skies to the rim.
So that's the Cavs announcers, I assume?
And J.R.
Yes.
Smith recovers.
He's got numbers if he hurries. The Curry bounce pass, Andre to the rim, goes up. Blocked by James from behind. And J.R. Smith got the ball. What a block by LeBron James. Came all the way back to knock it away.
Out comes Iguodala. 2-on-1 to find Curry. Get it back. Iguodala puts it up. Oh, LeBron tracked him down and made the rejection. Huge, huge defensive play by the four-time MVP.
One of them was probably the Cavs radio and one was probably the NBA
radio. Are you having fun
also.
Yet, Cleveland?
Yeah.
So four different very similar calls of the same play. People wanted to see the block by James in there. Yeah. NBA does not have – so I was going to put that and then cut in Kyrie's three with the bang – but Mike Breen did not give us a bang. He really understates Kyrie's three, so it did not make the list.
Wow, interesting.
Yeah, I thought there was
sure
a bang
Kyrie
in there.
Kyrie believes that there's a conspiracy behind that.
So the best bang you're not going to get on this list because it's not eligible is Ray Allen's three against the Spurs.
Okay. All right, so number 15
Come on.
Is college football, Auburn, Alabama.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know what it is.
Yep.
You tell me when to press play. It's the Iron Bowl.
This is the return in the Iron Bowl, right?
Yes.
Okay, what year was that? 2016? 2015?
2013. November 30th, 2013. I believe this announcer, the Auburn announcer, very recently passed.
Was that Cam?
No.
Well, we can watch it and we'll see. Because whoever the quarterback is, they'll show him on the sideline, I'm sure.
Yeah, I do not believe Cam is still there in 2013, no. Okay. But this is, I could be wrong. This is, the announcer recently passed in a car accident, this Auburn announcer. Sadly.
Oh, sorry to hear.
Press
all right, let's listen to one of his greatest
passes. Well, I guess if this thing comes up short, he can field it and run it out. All right, here we go.
I mean, who's hitting a 57-yard field goal in college, honestly?
56-yarder.
Yeah, but if anybody had a kicker, he could.
No, does not have the leg. And Chris Davis takes it in the back of the end zone.
It's pretty fluky who has the better kickers,
honestly.
15,
20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 45. There goes Davis.
Oh, my God.
Davis is going to run it all the way back. Auburn's going to win the football game.
At the 30, he realizes.
Auburn's going to win the football game.
Yeah.
He ran the missed field goal back. He ran it back 109 yards. They're not going to keep him off the field tonight. Holy cow. Oh, my God. Auburn wins. Auburn has won the Iron Bowl. Auburn has won the Iron Bowl in the most unbelievable fashion you will ever see. I cannot believe it. 34-28. And we thought a miracle at Jordan-Hare was amazing. Oh, my Lord in heaven. Chris Davis just read it. 109 yards. And Auburn is going to the championship game.
It used to be, if you watch old football, which I've been watching a lot of old football, there was an amazing, a guy put the 1988 Week 2 Red Zone together. It was really well done. The 1 o'clock, the 6 1 o'clock games, he cut them. I don't know if you saw that today. You could still watch it on YouTube. It's up on YouTube after the fact. It's very cool.
Yeah.
So anytime someone's breaking it in any football game in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, you have to say every 5-yard line mark, even though if you're on TV and not on the radio. 25, 30, 35, 40, you know?
Yeah.
But announcers have stopped doing that.
Yeah.
Announcers do not do that anymore.
Back
Maybe
in the day,
radio
they
announcers
did that. You're
probably
right.
Do. They always did that. And like in the 90s, they're like, all right, let's cut it to the 10s, 30, the 20, the 10. But it was they were always doing that, like as if they were a radio call. Now you don't hear that. So yeah, that's an iconic moment in the Iron Bowl. I miss that. I was at my brother-in-law's house. The internet was kind of spotty. I was in bed, I think, because, you know, a 7-hour delay. And I lost the internet for a few minutes. When I came back, the game was over. Very disappointing.
I got to say, that play is not as crazy a play as the Michigan-Michigan State game, except Auburn-Alabama is a bigger game than Michigan-Michigan State. Even when Michigan and Michigan State are both top 10 teams.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, this is the end of the year. This is deciding national championships. But, yes, that goes without saying that the Michigan play is an insane play. What's the first field goal return for touchdown you've ever seen?
I think it was Dominique Rogers Cromartie, or Antonio Cromartie, actually, for the Chargers against the Vikings to end the first half of a game. That's the one that comes to mind as a Vikings fan now, because that was 109 yards, you know, tying the NFL record for longest play.
Yeah. So the first one I ever saw is 98 against Peyton Manning. The Jets are leading 16-10, and the Colts kick a field goal. Peyton Manning's obviously a rookie. It's 98, yeah. And they miss the field goal. Parcells sends Aaron Glenn back. Glenn catches it 4 yards deep, runs 104 yards. Jets lead 23-10 against the bad Colts team, and somehow blow the lead and lose. It's the last game they would lose till the AFC Championship game. But so, yeah, I thought he invented it, but he didn't. I actually think I may have found the invention of the icing the kicker, watching old games from the 70s. Because a team ices the kicker, and the announcers lose their minds.
Do they? Like, what, they don't use that
never
expression,
seen it
though.
Before.
What do they say?
They don't say icing the kicker. They're like, why would they do that? No, the offense is supposed to call time. Like, they're just baffled. They do not understand it.
Does the kicker miss?
The kicker, well, it was like a 46-yard field goal in the 1970s.
Anyway.
So there's literally a stat in that red zone. Raul Alegre, who the Jets famously, this is not my football thing, but the Jets once ran the ball on 4th and 6 in the Bruce Coslett era against a good 49ers team.
Okay,
and they are the only it's the only time ever that someone's run the ball intentionally in like. Outside of like running at the clock or fake punts, like actually attempted an intentional run on 4th and 6.
That kind of surprised me. I feel like the 49ers would have done it this year. There's no way that's not been done before.
No, nobody's. Well, it was very specifically fourth and six. So in theory, fourth and longer, it can be done. But it's the only intentional run in fourth and six in history. So it's possible they ran it on fourth and nine. But anyway, Allegre is like the kicker there, so and they won't kick a 42-yarder. But Allegre is the Giants kicker on the 1988 Week 2 Red Zone, and they have a stat up. Touchbacks, Raul Allegre this year, zero. Last year, zero. 60 yeah. kickoffs, no touchbacks. So, like, the kickers really sucked back then. No, Cam Newton is 2011 Panthers, so he is far, far away from the Iron Bowl at that point. All right, let's go to soccer. We've got one more soccer game for you today. It is European UEFA qualifying to make the World Cup. Go 20 seconds in. This isn't, or at least 10. Yeah, go to 20 seconds. Drag your mouse to 20 seconds here. And so England is in big trouble in the 2002 World Cup qualifier, going to Japan, South Korea, and they really need a goal against Greece or else they could miss the World Cup, which would be absolutely disastrous. You tell me when to press play.
Sure. Let's go.
They're
press
trailing 2-1 against Greece. David Beckham has a free kick.
Attempt to go. We've played 2.5 minutes of stoppage time. England trail by 2-1. Beckham could raise the roof here with a goal. I don't believe it. David Beckham scores the goal to take England all the way to the World Cup finals.
Rio Ferdinand, Emil Heskey.
Yeah, these guys, I knew this team more than I knew any other soccer team ever.
Absolutely. Every single guy was such a big... I mean,
all my friends that year, you know, in 2002 were British guys at Gush.
Well, so. they never had the second striker, like with Owen, like Heskey's on the field there. He was never such a good player, even in the EPL. Yeah. But yeah, certainly like the Gerard Lampard midfield.
Paul Scholes was getting up there, I think.
Well, was Gerard Lampard 06, or are they already there in 02?
I don't think they were there in 06, in 02.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah. So that's so really bending it like Beckham.
Yeah, that's his, you know, he has a similar one in the Champions League, but that's probably his most important goal ever.
I remember there was a poster that was up in a bunch of my friends' rooms from like the Times of London or whatever of the roster.
Okay.
That England had that year. And
I can't believe I blanked on the roster. I knew the 2002 World Cup team so well. So.
Okay, let's see. They had all right, I'm going to defense Ashley Cole. Rio Ferdinand.
Yeah.
All right, I'm not going to my position. Beckham, Scholes, we said. Michael Owen. Emil Heskey, you said. There was another Cole. There was Ashley Cole, and they had another one. Joe Cole, I think, right?
Yeah. Joe Cole's on the team.
What's that, six guys I've named?
Yeah, I'm way early on Gerard.
No, yeah, Gerard and guy. Yeah, those guys come way later.
Yeah, Saul Campbell from Arsenal's on that team. Robbie Fowler.
Robbie
Wes Brown, who was the backup.
Who was the keeper?
David Seaman.
Oh, the guy with the ponytail and the mustache.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
David Seaman was the keeper. Not great keeper. The U.S. Yeah, always had three better keepers than whoever, you know.
Yeah.
That Friedel that Keller Howard was all substantially better than
they had. There was one guy on the team who did not play in the Premier League.
Owen Hargreaves.
Yes. I remember there was one guy who was, where was he, in Germany or something?
Kieran, yes. Kieran Dyer from my beloved Newcastle was on the team. Okay. Nicky Butt. You always got to get the butt jersey.
Yeah.
And so Sven-Göran Eriksson was the...
Was there anyone else from Liverpool other than Owen and Heskey?
I'm looking
Heskey
now.
Played for Liverpool, didn't he?
Yes. Emil Heskey was on Liverpool. Okay. No, those are the Liverpudlians.
The apex of my knowledge of Premier League soccer was 2002.
Yeah. I can't believe I thought Gerard freaking was on that
team. He scores goals. Paul Scholes. He scores goals.
All right, let's do three more. Let's another baseball home run. Well, we've had a lot of New York Giants. Excuse me, formerly New York Giants, San Francisco Giants. By the way, I was speaking to my grandfather, and you know he's a baseball atheist. He does or an agnostic. He does not have a team anymore, and he's a Jets fan. I didn't realize that because I knew he grew up in the Bronx. He was a New York Giants baseball fan. I knew he was also a New York Giants football fan. And the Giants moved away, and like many other people, he did not follow them. But he's not. I guess he ostensibly likes the Mets. His son and his grandson like the Mets, so like he roots for the Mets. He'll go to a Mets game with us. But he did not. He is now 60 whatever years as a base or 70 years almost without a baseball team.
But still, being a committed fan, very impressive. Straight.
I mean, he's fine with baseball. Like he'll watch playoff games. I mean, he'll watch games at night. Sure, he really could use some sports right now because he's also like. too, like, you know, he would never watch, like, he's not going to watch the Jordan documentary or, like, old games he's not interested in. He wants to watch new games.
Yeah, he wants live action.
But I didn't realize that he was a Giants fan, and then it, just after the famous 1958 championship game that went into overtime against the Colts, they just became so popular it was impossible to get tickets anymore in the Polo Grounds and then Yankee Stadium, wherever they were playing. So he sort of gave up on them, and then he just didn't have a team for a few years, and then he picked the Jets when they drafted Namath at the end of, you know, I think the draft was in December of 64, maybe November 30th of 1964. So 56 years as a Jets season ticket holder. But he's not a OG Jets, you know, Jets fan. He rooted for the Giants. And he wasn't there with the, in the Titans years, the first couple years either.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right, so this is Barry Bonds on 755 homers. This is August 7th, 2007. Mike Bacsik is the pitcher. Barry Bonds is the hitter. Bottom of the fifth. Nationals.
Is this John Miller again? Who are we getting announcing it?
I believe this is going to be John Miller. I don't think I wrote it in, but press play.
Okay. Yeah, you wrote Dwayne Kuiper. But is that correct? All right, let's watch. Six
deals. And Bonds.
No, Kuiper.
It's a deep. It is out of here.
Bonds knows immediately. Instantly.
Yeah.
Bonds stands alone. He is on top of the all-time home run list. What a special moment for Barry Bonds. And what a special moment for these fans here in San Francisco. There it is.
It's kind of sad because when we were kids, the idea of somebody bringing 756 would have been, like, so cool. And
yeah,
this was
way too high. This is not a classic call. Nobody cared about this outside of San Francisco.
I hear you. I hear you. I like the call itself, but I agree that the moment wasn't as big of a deal as, you know. 71 was a bigger deal even maybe than 756, which would not have been the case a few years earlier, but just the nature of it. I don't know. It's crazy Pujols didn't break the record.
Yeah.
Or A-Rod. All right. Everyone's going to like 12, and then 11 is just complete chaos.
All right, okay, so 12 is...
It's a wild game, but this is one of the great Gus-gasms of all time.
Yeah, yeah, the Gus is at his peak here.
Yeah, all right, so tell me when to hit play.
All right, let's go, baby.
Xavier, Kansas State.
Holloway, 11 to go. Holloway kicks it out. Crawford, 8. Crawford's got to hurry. Up. Oh, no! He tied it! Clemente! Clemente fires!
So good. It's so amazing.
I mean, he has like 3 orgasms on one play there. It's insane. Yeah. It's like, oh, ah, ah. It's just crazy. It's insane. Yeah,
if that basket at the buzzer goes in, I think that he actually dies.
Yeah, the basket at the buzzer goes in, it's number one in this list, obviously. Gus is no longer with us. It would have been a great way to go for Gus also.
Yeah, he died doing what he loved, as they say.
No question. But yeah, that's the final Gus entry on this list. I did. Adam Morrison did not make it. So let's go. You know, this is. I had a one play which was about a minute long, but we've been running through these. Let's watch the whole 4.5 minute clip. I'm taking you not to the NFL, not to college football, not to the XFL, but to high school football, Alex, for number 11.
Okay.
The 1994.
No, do you want to preface it the way you did offline? And I got mad at you when I said, we'll pretend,
I said you weren't going to know what it is, and you said you did know what it is, and you said you knew it better than me.
No, I was insulted that you would
stupid.
Say that. Obviously, and then I claimed I knew what this is before you
But
did.
I watch SportsCenter every day, and this like made it immediate. This was like the first like, ooh, we're going to put this crazy.
But I've known about this for 20 years. Like, okay, I've seen this a million times. It's Plano East.
Plano East against John Tyler.
Now,
so
if
these
a
are
listener
the Plano East announcers.
Doesn't know what this is.
Be prepared for an audio.
Well, I would say, you know, go look at the show notes. Watch the YouTube video because you need to see this with the audio, with the video.
Yeah. And we'll,
the announcer going crazy is one thing. But you need, because the video shows, even though they didn't do this back then in real TV, but like on this video, they show what the score is. They're updating you so you can sort of follow along what's going on. All right. So we're going to watch the whole video.
All right. So the story is we are, you press play. Tell me when to press play.
No, I can wait.
Let's press play at the same time, because otherwise this is a long video.
Okay.
Say play.
Play.
Bingo, bango, bongo.
So, we're listening to the Plano East announcers. This is in Dallas Cowboys Stadium. We have the 75th anniversary of the NFL on the field. Plano East is trailing 41-17, and they just threw a touchdown.
Yeah. Yeah.
Onside kick number one.
All right.
So this is the Texas State, you know, 6A or whatever. The big, I think these are the biggest schools. This is the Texas High School Football Championship.
Town screen.
What a
kick. My.
Great kick. Tell me there's some quit in that one, buddy.
What a player.
The jerseys are great also.
Yeah. The shoulder pads. 88 looks like an NFL size tight end.
Absolutely. He probably is. It's probably like, it's probably, you know, Tony Gonzalez.
Now they show us the score.
To the left, and I'm going to 88.
So now it's 41-23 after that last score. Onside kick at the 25-yard line.
Shockingly, they missed an extra point in high school football.
Oh, look at this run.
That's so lucky, that play.
Kevin Coy, tremendous effort.
As he's getting hit, the quarterback just throws it up. Instead of being picked, the running back catches it and picks up another 15.
Natchez says in the end zone as he gets tackled by the 12.
131 possibly left in somebody's career here. Bubba Woods in motion. Whitley.
Touchdown.
John Braddock, touchdown.
Come on, baby.
Yeah, all these guys are wearing the bare midriff shirts.
Easy, slow down, man.
By the way, 88 is also the kicker.
Yes, sir, they got it.
Oh, it's the old school.
Such a
they recover another onside kick.
Yeah, such as it didn't go 10 yards. It's only because the returning team touched the ball.
10-point ball game, and the Plano East Panthers absolutely.
That's two straight onside kicks.
They refuse to say quit. Rico Hall blitz, screen pass to Green.
By the way, this is not even the championship. This is just like.
25.
This is this is literally a semifinal to like get into the regional that happens to be at the Cowboys Stadium.
Good gosh almighty.
If they score,
so they still have to win like three more games to win state.
Woods in motion. Whitley.
Over the yes, sir!
Touchdown,
and a baby! And a baby!
There it is. Down, John Braddock.
Not over yet, boys.
Hey, get a 2-point here, and they're within a field goal of winning the game.
Winning
That's
the
exactly
game.
Right. Winning the game.
Oh, this was a 3-point game in the fourth quarter go. Before
John
Tyler.
If you haven't seen this before, you think you know where this is going.
Yes.
Come on, baby.
Yes.
It's going to happen. Positive thinking.
Come on, baby.
Oh, it's open. They got it again. They got it again. Good gosh almighty. I don't believe it. This is unbelievable.
I love the good gosh almighty.
Two timeouts left, two men.
We woke up Earl the Cookie Man Miller. Look at 33 over there. He's getting his stuff back on.
41-37.
Man, we're going to celebrate. Break out the Oreos, baby. Come on, baby.
I'm out of words. I'm
break out the Oreos, Akiva.
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
Second and 10.
So now they have the ball field. Down by four.
All in motion. Blitz coming.
There's
look out.
Screen.
With screen pass. Green in trouble.
He's going. He's going.
He's still going.
He's going.
Probably not great defense.
He's going to score. Come on.
No, I would say they probably need to shore that up. If
he's
gonna
going all the way there now as he's tackled at the 25.
He's going. That guy can only just call a touchdown on every play.
31 seconds left. Plano East first and 10. Ball at the 22. They trail by four.
This is
will they pull off the greatest comeback in history?
I've never seen a better game on Telegable.
Going to throw.
Throws back. He's going to get in. He's in the end zone.
Wide open. It's like Boise State all over again.
He finally called the touchdown successfully.
God almighty. He finally. There's seven men in the booth, it sounds like.
Yeah. I don't believe it.
Oh, that's all it is. Oh, my. Do you believe it?
Everybody.
So they were down 41-17 with 3 minutes to go.
They scored 27 points. Greatest comeback of all time.
24 seconds left.
I done wet my britches.
He done wet his
britches.
Wet
my britches.
Well, I'm going to tell you what.
There's 100 great moments here.
Big boys, yeah. They've been packed it in, too.
So they're kicking off with like 20 seconds left.
Tell it to them for a premium.
You dang right.
The announcers are just celebrating as the final kickoff to end the game is kicked.
Left, Terrence Green boots it high and deep. Going to be
all right, just seconds run.
Got a crease.
Oh, no. Oh, no!
Oh, my God!
Oh,
my
oh
God.
No! It still
God,
hurts.
No, no!
Who roots for John Tyler?
Gosh. I don't believe it. God bless those kids. I'm sick. I want to throw up.
The greatest highlight in sports history. It's amazing.
I want to throw up. What an ending.
By the way, I didn't even mention John Tyler scored like two quick touchdowns because it was a close game, and then they made it 41. It was 27-17, and then they scored two quick. So there's 48 points scored in the last 4 minutes of the game.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Not great defense on either.
There's I think seven touchdowns or six touchdowns in a field.
Yeah, it's like that Vikings Ravens game in 2013.
Yeah,
or 2000.
It was so big that they like immediately put it on ESPN2.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's anybody famous on the like on either team. It won the ESPY award, so it was like all over ESPN.
Yeah, I mean, if there was, I think we would know that. Who's 88? Who's number 88?
No, nobody we know.
Yeah,
there's some guys who made it to college, but
not a lot of guys made it to the league as defensive players. I don't think out of that clip.
No, probably not. One guy, Darwin Brown, was drafted.
But listen, if there's at least one listener who had never seen that before, and we turned them on to that, you don't even have to be a sports fan, by the way, to appreciate that. Although it probably helps.
Yeah. Ooh, Gary Baxter is on the winning team, and he played a bunch of years in the league, actually, for the Ravens and Browns. Signed a $30 million deal. I don't even remember him.
Which player, what number was he in high school? Do we know that?
I do not know. It's not even in his, his high school thing is not even in his, on his wiki page. It doesn't even mention. But yeah, so that was fun. Greatest high school game of all time. Got a top 10. So did 20-11 live up to the billing for you, Alex?
20-11 was pretty good. I think 10-1 is where we're really going to have like the all-time classics, though.
Yeah, we did lose rights to one of them on YouTube. I'm going to have to find that.
I'm sure you can find it somewhere.
But I will find
French,
it.
French Netflix, as Sammy likes to say.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, it's been real. I hope people had a good time. We'll see you next week at the conclusion of this and more podcasts. I don't know. It's 4:14 a.m. I'm going to go to sleep.
Have a good night. Bye.
Bye. Thank God Almighty. Thank God Almighty. Thank God Almighty. Thank God Almighty. Down. Keep the faith. I've been